until 4, this is The Catch-Up on Perth 6PR.
Gee whiz. What piece of music is that? What is that? Is that real? 30.4 degrees in the city of Perth, 26 minutes, sorry, correction. That clock just moved, 27 minutes after 2 o'clock. That's how honest I am. I saw that thing moving, and I could have just sold you 26 minutes after, and I thought, no, I'll tell you the truth. And, of course, if I keep talking, it'll be 28 minutes, so I better stop right now. I get the opportunity and have spoken to this bloke on numerous occasions. The way I found and discovered him, oh, gosh, ages and ages ago. Morris Mislowski is a business futurist. There was an article that I read in it was a Qantas magazine, an in-flight Qantas magazine. I might even ask Morris about this. Morris, are you there?
Of course I'm here. Hello, Todd. Happy Saturday, everyone. It's wonderful to hear you on air again.
It's great to be here, and it's great to talk to you, young man, because, hang on, now let's go back in time, because when I was doing sort of afternoons 1,000 years ago, before nights, I read an article in an in-flight magazine, Qantas, I believe, and the article featured you being a business futurist, and I thought, what sort of a concept is that? Now, do you remember that? Do you remember the article?
I do. You're talking about our origin story, almost our first
That's
date.
It. Yes, that was our first date.
You're absolutely right. It was a Qantas article. It was a while ago because I don't even think, well, I know those books aren't on the planes anymore. So it was a while ago. And we've been chatting ever since. The world's changed a bit since we first started chatting about it.
Mate, when you think about it, you know, because originally I was doing the big weekends, I think it was afternoon, Saturday and Sunday, which is sort of the catch up now. And I wanted to find people that were a little bit left of centre or right of centre, not sort of mainstream. And I thought a business futurist, because you look at trends and have looked at trends for big business, but a lot of the philosophies of big business can be sort of taken into our personal lives to a certain extent. That's one of the reasons why I grabbed you straight away and said you want to join us. And we're still discussing life at this stage. And I think we'll continue doing it. Now, you're based in Sydney.
Melbourne. Worse.
Don't hold back, mate. Just be raw. Give it to me real. And you've been doing the business futurist for how long, Morris?
I'm going to lie. I'm going to tell you it's 30 plus years, but it's more than that. It's a long time. It's over 40 years now.
Wow. Don't be such a mate. I'm as old as you are. Let's just rock on. You're only as old as you feel. Morris, how did you become a business futurist? Because I'm assuming there's an economics background there.
No, it's a marketing background. So I'm a strategist. Marketing. Really, what I do is, what I've always done is really think about the way that businesses might evolve, what they might become. And to your point before, if we forget the word business, businesses are made up by humans. Yeah, that's all
that
it is. I mean, that's all that it is. Humans run businesses, humans sell to businesses, humans work for businesses, and humans make decisions about where they're going to deal with businesses or not. So for me, honestly, all I'm really thinking about is how as humans we might interact with that business, whether we're going to like what they're trying to sell to us, whether that new gadget's going to make, you know, a difference to our lives, whether technology's going to be useful. And you and I started talking about whether social media would ever be useful and catch on. That's how far we go back. It was around the early 2000s. And all of those things are really decisions that we make. And that's the purpose of what I do and what I talk to clients about. Futures, I don't believe in predicting futures. That's a nonsense because I don't do tax tickets and I don't do horse racing. I wish I did. I'd be talking to you from a Greek island. But really what I'm trying to do and what I think I'm doing all these years is preparing people to work in businesses, to work in industry and just be wonderful humans, thinking about what might be coming ahead of us and getting ready for it.
Right. See, that's important to me. I've really appreciated the discussions that we've had over numerous years. And it's not a crystal ball thing. It's just, I've tried to predict my future. It's impossible to do, but there are trends that can be selected. 2025 was an interesting year on a couple of levels. Some people did it very tough. I spoke to a few people at the New Year's Eve event that the band was playing at, and they were grateful that 2025 was done and dusted. They were looking forward to 2026, hoping that it was going to be a better year. Now, Morris, I don't want the lotto numbers, but from your forecasting, are you expecting 2026 to be a little bit better?
Better is always a pejorative. I mean, how do we know? But to your point, I absolutely agree. 2025 was a tough year, even for those that had a great year. And I hope all our listeners had a great year and they only had joy and good health and everything they wanted. But for many people, it was a tough year. There was just so much going on. It just felt like every moment the world was changing. We'd have something happen over the other side of the world, and all of a sudden it would tilt our world. There would be a terrible, heinous act somewhere, and our world would change. That thing that we keep calling, you know, AI, every time we opened our eyes or did something, all of a sudden it changed the world. There was so much that we had to think about and consider and make decisions from, and it felt overwhelming to many people, to most people. So I think this year I'm really hoping, and from everything that I can see so far, I mean, I know we're only a couple of days in, but, you know, I'm going back a while, everything that we seem to be doing up to that, it seems like this year is going to be a settling year. We're kind of overwhelmed. It's enough already. We're going to take the best that we can. And the other thing that I think that plays into this for me is I'm hoping and I'm sensing it's going to be a good enough year. A good enough year means we're over-perfect. We just know the world can't be perfect. We know there's so much happening. We're never, ever going to be on top of it. We have to get back to being human and saying, right now, with what we have and what we know and what we need to do, this is the best I can do. It's the best decision I can make. And to me, that's a good enough year. That's not settling. That's still wonderful. But we're not putting ourselves under the pressure of, gee whiz, what's going to happen tomorrow? Right now, it's the best I know and this is the best I'm going to do.
But, mate, that's the here and now. So as a futurist, when you help businesses, when you help companies predicting philosophies of the future, what you're saying is, and I'm paraphrasing, is that let's do the best we can now and then attempt to foresee the future. Because, I mean, realistically, gosh, we're talking about it before, you know, some random news stories that slip through to the keeper. There's so much going on in the so-called news sphere. It's very hard to actually sit back and have a quiet moment to predict anything, Morris.
It is, but if we are going to do that, if we are going to manage our businesses, but more importantly, if we're going to manage our lives, we really do have to think about what is it we want from it, whether that's our lives or our business, it's the same thing. I refer to that as inhabitable future. It's the story we tell ourselves. If everything was perfect, where do I want to be? What do I want to have? What do I want this business to be? What do I want my family to be? Who do I want to be? Because once we know that, it doesn't have to be perfect, but once we know the direction, we can start working towards that. And that's why I think that, you know, today I know what I'm going to do. I know what I have, what I'm willing to do. Tomorrow I'll know a little bit different. I'm going to do a little bit different. And we have to get used to the fact that life's not linear. It never was, but we had time to fool ourselves. It was linear, meaning that we could make a decision that kind of stuck with us for a day, a week, a month, a year, and we could travel through that decision. Today we make a really, really good decision, and by tonight it's worthless. Something's happened. It just means we have to do something different, think something different, have something different. But as long as we're heading in that direction we need to be in, we'll be okay.
Okay. So a couple of things from that. Number one, we have to think about what we're thinking about, not just go on rote and live. We have to think about what we're thinking about. That's a philosophy that I am trying to adopt myself, not as a New Year's resolution, but as you get older, you just want to think about what you're thinking about. And if it's the right thing, keep going. And if it's the wrong thing, think about it and make a bit of a pivot if needs be. The other thing too is, as a business futurist, do you have to adapt your process with regards to helping people? Because as you said, you make a decision in the morning, and by 2:30 in the afternoon, it's all gone belly up because something has changed. How do you approach that from your, I guess, business model?
My model actually hasn't changed in all the years, but what changes is everything around it. So I've got a really simple homespun model, which I think fits perfectly into life, not just business. I told you about inhabitable futures, which is a North Star. This is where we're headed. So I start off with everybody. You know, we've got to figure out where we're going or it doesn't matter. So once we know that, again, it's not perfect, but it's enough to get us started, enough to get us excited. Humans have to buy into it. We have to get excited by where we're headed, or we just can't put the time or energy into it really well. And then from there, I work back and I work through what I call in the inhabitable futures, the first step. Then I work through what I call the ripple effects, which are the things that are going on around us, the politics, the economics, the technology, where I spend a bit of time, the social, the political. And I work through all those things. They're ripple effects to me because you have to look at what's happening and then the impacts that it might have and the impacts that that might have and what you need to do to adjust in advance of it. Again, not different for human life. For me, the next thing that I'm doing, and all of these kind of work together, is PTFA, which is past trauma, future anxiety. We're human, absolutely human. We can't forget that. So there are things that have happened to us before that kind of work like an anchor, and they stop us from doing or having. You know, I've done this before and it just didn't work. Or when I did this, it didn't work all that well. You know, all those negative things we tell ourselves, which are really human. And the other side is future anxiety. I don't understand artificial intelligence. I'm never going to get it. So anything I think about is going to be negative. We kind of have to work through both of those and say that we have throughout our lives been able to overcome, and we can overcome too if we don't let ourselves be anchored by those negativities. And then the last step for me, Todd, is what I call the immediate future. That's that thing we spoke about a couple of minutes ago. What do I have to do right now? Right now, to keep moving, what's important, and we keep adjusting. And that's the big difference in life now, life's business, it doesn't matter, is that we don't have the luxury anymore of time giving us a month or a week or a year or whatever else as a breather for actually, for whatever we did to settle down before we have to decide again. Sometimes, as you said rightly, by 2:30, our 10 o'clock decision's worthless.
That's true. That's true. I mean, sometimes I start this radio show at 12 o'clock and get to about half past three and I think, where am I going? Well, I haven't had lunch yet. Maybe I'm hangry. I don't know what it is. Morris, this is such an interesting topic of conversation. And I think we just scratched the surface. I'm starting up on the 19th to do the Monday to Friday, 12 till 3. Looking forward to it. You're going to come on board. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to invade your space at certain times to just discuss this further, because this is not... I love the fact that you as a business futurist, you're acknowledging the fact that there's a human element to business. As you say, people working with people for people. And I think that that's really resonated with me, because the philosophies that you are discussing with me now, we can take as individuals and sort of adapt them, morph them into something that can benefit us. So Morris Maslowski, I'm going to have to bid you farewell, mate. I'm running out of time. But I want to say thank you. We will be in touch. We will talk again. And Happy New Year to you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
I am looking forward to have a great New Year. And it's wonderful to have you back, Todd.
Good on you, mate. Thank you, Morris. Morris Maslowski, folks, if you want to chase up Morris, Morris Mizzle, Morris M-I-S-E.